Good morning. Good morning. This is Street Talk Radio this morning, and this is Jennifer G.G. Ferguson coming at you live. And we will be having the host, Natasha, calling us in a little bit. But in the meantime, we had a young lady on a couple weeks ago where we were talking about prenups in marriage. She's an attorney. Her last name is Larry. And I'm going to let her tell you her name and somewhat of the scope of her business before we get started today.
All right. Hi, I'm Christina Larry, and I am an attorney. I'm based out of Federal Way, and I do divorce, marriage. I do small business law, and I go by a couple of names. My law firm is Sassy Litigations, but then I also have the Prenup Princess, which I talked a little bit about when I was here a few weeks ago. And I also have the Seattle Wedding Lawyer, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit today, since wedding season is getting started and getting kicked off. It's a great time to start talking about the laws that go around weddings and what people need to actually know about, you know, getting married.
So we talked just a hot second about marijuana and weddings.
Yes.
In our state. And you said that's really huge today.
That is a huge thing. When I first got a call about it, gosh, a few years ago, I didn't really realize it was actually a thing, but people actually pay a lot of money for what they call weed weddings. It's a big thing. It's like a tourism attraction. I mean, it's now that marijuana's been getting legal in more states and people aren't probably coming here just for that anymore, but that was something that people were doing and it's still something people do. And they were incorporating it into their weddings in all sorts of ways, whether it's the wedding cake, it's some kind of edible cake, whether it's the party favors. People do things where instead of having a bartender, they have what's called a bud tender, where they have different strains and you can go in into the tent and pick what you want and everybody will smoke. People are putting the leaves in their bouquets. They're putting in the boutonnieres. So there's all kinds of stuff that's going on with this.
Wow. So tell me what brings about the legal aspect of this?
Well, because it is legal, but you still have to know what the legal requirements are. It's not completely legal. And one of the big things that always comes up is people wanting to possibly bring either some of that into, you know, a hotel or a venue or something like that. So you have to actually make sure that it's actually allowed in that venue. Also, are you going to have kids at your wedding? That's another big thing to make sure. If you're having an edible wedding cake, are you having kids at your wedding? You know, are they going to be, you know, is there another cake they can eat? Is there people going to be smoking around the kids? Just a lot of other kind of legal requirements that's going to be coming into play, making sure people there are, you know, legal age and all of that kind of thing.
So then my question is, if they're having marijuana as part of their wedding, mm-hmm. can they have children there?
Well, that's kind of the biggest issue. It's kind of figuring out. So, I mean, while it's not necessarily illegal for you to have your children around, but you probably don't want to necessarily have your kids around or have a lot of kids around, depending on how you're incorporating it into your wedding. And that's really going to be the biggest issue, is figuring out how you're incorporating it and what parts of the law you need to be aware of when you're incorporating that into your wedding. So it's something to think about. It's not just something as simple as, oh, we're going to have some marijuana and throw it into our wedding and, you know, let's go have a good time. You want to make sure you're following the requirements. Like I said, especially if you're having it at a venue somewhere, you need to make sure, is it allowed in that venue? Is there any, you know, are there any requirements that you have to make sure about having it there? Do they know that you're bringing in a edible wedding cake, things like that? Are you having it in your home? What are the requirements there? You know, what if you're not even, you don't own the home, are you renting the home? So there's a lot of stuff that you actually need to make sure that you're following just before you decide you're going to kind of pop one up. And there's places that, you know, specialize in that. So that's something you want to do. You might want to look into one of those kinds of resorts or places that are really specializing in hosting those kinds of events.
So in my mind, I'm picturing an outside wedding.
Yeah. Normally they're outside. People usually have the a tent where they have the, you know, the different kinds and the bud tenders and things like that set up. But some people do have them inside, which I think can make for an interesting wedding. Again, depending on how they're incorporating it into their wedding. Like I said, not everyone is smoking it. Like I said, that can just be as simple as putting the plants into a wedding bouquet or the boutonniere or some of the arrangements, or I've seen those kind of simpler things like that. And then you get kind of the more higher end where people are giving it out as some kind of party favor or wedding favor, or they are actually all kind of having some time where they all go and smoke together or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of different ways people are doing it, but it's just one of those things that you really want to make sure that you're following the requirements around.
So here's another question that pops into my mind. Suppose you're having a marijuana wedding and you invite people. Do you need... I'm thinking right. You need to tell the people you're inviting.
That's a very good one. You want to make sure that people that are coming to your wedding know what's going to happen, especially if you're serving it in like a cake or something like that, that they know what they're actually ingesting and it's not some kind of surprise thing where they have no idea what's actually going on. So it is one of those things that you definitely want to make sure every guest, you know, server, whoever else is going to be there knows exactly what kind of wedding it's going to be.
I never thought about all of that when it comes to, I really guess I never thought about a full marijuana wedding.
Yeah, I had never, like I said, I never heard about them. I didn't know it was a huge thing. And then I had to actually find a lawyer out in Colorado because it, you know, cause it came legal there first. And they were like, oh yeah, people have been flocking to the state to have these weddings ever since, you know, it got legal. And I was like, really? I did not know this was actually a thing. So it is. It's something I think most people don't know is a thing, and it's still happening.
And it's huge in Washington
State.
Definitely.
It's a big industry. And like I said, I think as more as it gets legal in more states, I'm pretty sure it's going to be getting bigger all across the country. It's going to be a whole kind of trend of this. So people do all kinds of things for their weddings. So this is just one of the things that I guess people are doing nowadays.
Okay. Since we're in the wedding season, there were some other issues, and we're still waiting on Natasha to call us in, but there were some other issues that you were talking about that you wanted to address with our listeners.
Well, it's I guess end of May now, so it's definitely wedding season's full effect. I think the royal wedding kind of helped kick off that season, if everyone's kind of watched that, and I think everyone's kind of in the wedding mood. And but there's a lot that goes into weddings I don't think people realize.
Hold on just one moment. We are at KLAY 1180 AM, and as we go through this, if you have any questions, please call in and ask at 253-581-0324. We are also on KLAY1180.com. Okay, I just want to make sure everyone has the ability to find us and to be able to contact us and ask for questions.
Great. Yeah, definitely. If you have any questions, please feel free. So I guess some of the big things that kind of come up, one that I just kind of went into is destination weddings. People always want to have a destination wedding, and while that's great, you don't always realize there's requirements you have to do in the other country to actually get married there. I have a friend from college who's getting married in October in Mexico, and so I was talking, I was like, you make sure you followed all the rules. I mean, there's lots of things you have to make sure. All your documents have to be translated into Spanish. That's one. Even your birth certificate. So it's not one of those where you can just go over there, get married, and think you're done. You actually need to follow those kinds of requirements. If you've been married before and you've been divorced, you need to make sure you bring a copy of that. But that's only if you're a woman, not if you're a man.
Wait a minute.
Right, yeah, exactly. So
that's sexist.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's things like that you actually have to make sure that you know. And so if you're a man and you've been divorced before, you don't need to bring actual documentation of that. But if you're a woman and you've been divorced before and you're getting married over there, you actually have to bring documentation of that. And again, it has to be translated into Spanish. So that's some other things that you actually need to make sure when you're going to do these kind of like destination wedding things. It's not as simple as just getting to a country and, you know, getting married.
So then maybe we need to have people, if they are translators and can translate, to begin a business and start advertising that we can translate documents for you into Spanish or...
Yeah, whatever language it might be, depending on where you're getting married. So yeah, it's one of those things that, like I said, people don't think about. I think they start planning. That's why, you know, especially if you're doing a country that's not a big destination wedding country, you know, Mexico, I'm sure they're used to it. So they probably have people there waiting for you that if you don't have all these requirements, they can kind of help you with. Same thing with maybe like somewhere like Jamaica or something where people go. But
I suppose they don't bring those documents with them.
Then you're not going to be able to get married. You know, you can have your whole ceremony, but is it going to be legal because you didn't meet all the requirements in that country? So that's one of the other things that people actually really need to make sure they're doing. And make sure they actually go through and follow. Like one thing with France, you can get married there, but you actually have to be living there for a while before you can actually. So you can't just go like, you know, a week before and decide you're going to get married. They have a residency requirement. And a lot of people don't realize there's these different issues that all these countries have when it comes to getting married. So it's not as simple as just saying, well, I want to have a destination wedding. Let's go do it. You actually need to make sure you've done some planning, some research, and make sure you get all those requirements met. So you can have a legal wedding, because I've seen that happen where people go to a country, think they've got legally married, but they didn't meet all the requirements, and they come back thinking they're married, and they really aren't because they didn't actually meet those requirements.
I bet if you have to wait until you get there to get all of those legal requirements, it's going to cost a lot more money. So maybe it would be smart to get married either at the Justice of the Peace or with your pastor in the office, a private ceremony that maybe just you and the spouse and parents or whoever standing up for you have here in the States.
And then go.
And then go, and everyone thinks it's the big wedding, right, but you've actually done the legalities of it here.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. And that's something some people do. They kind of have their big destination reception, I guess, is kind of what they call it instead. You know, they do have kind of the wedding. They do like the ceremony, but it's not the legal ceremony. It's kind of a formality just to kind of have people there. And that might be one way to do it. If you're not sure what the requirements are, you can't get, you know, definite answers. But you want to make sure you're working with someone in that country if you're planning a destination wedding. And don't just try to do it all on your own thinking, you know, you've Googled some stuff and you're good and you're ready to go, because more than likely that may not be the case. And you're going to have some big consequences coming back.
That's scary.
So, yeah, it is. It is. And you're spending a lot of weddings aren't cheap anymore either.
No, they're not.
I mean, the average cost right now is $30,000 for a wedding. That's what people are paying. And people are taking out loans to pay for these weddings.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I used to own a bridal shop, and I sent a lot of my customers, especially if they were on budgets, to Albertsons and Safeway to get their wedding cakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I tell the ladies, you know, the first thing you want to do is get your wedding gown. Get your wedding gown and your picture situated first. So now I'm thinking, okay, let's talk legalities of where you want the wedding and what that's going to cost you. Then the woman's dream wedding gown that my personal opinion, but that's just mine. You don't ask the groom.
Right.
You know, what do you think, or what type of wedding gown do you want? Because typically once you do that, then the groom wants you to get what he wants you to get, and it's not what you want. And that's where, you know, between that and sometimes the who's ever paying for the wedding, I think that's where we get some of the bridezillas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it definitely comes up. I mean, when you're spending that much money, you're definitely going to be. I mean, that's just the average. I mean, people are doing a lot more than that, you know. And people are doing more than one wedding nowadays, too, because they want to have more people there. They want to have it in different locations. They want to have different themes. So it's very pricey. And it is one of those things you have to kind of sit through and start figuring out, how much do you want to spend? Does it make sense to take out a loan for a wedding? I don't necessarily know. I mean, based on what we talked about last time I was here with the divorce rate and all that stuff, I don't know if you should be taking out a loan for a wedding. But, you know, like I said, people are going to do what they're going to do, but you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself while doing it. And so, you know, kind of what we talked about with the legalities, another big one that people don't realize is their wedding contracts. They're just signing these contracts for their cake, the DJ, the limo, whatever it might be. Nobody's reading them. They don't know what's in it. And it's been showing now, coming out in the news, that it's really kind of hurting people in the long run because they're not reading it. I mean, on average, you're signing about 20 contracts for your venue, your cake, all those things. And you have no idea what they say. And what's been happening is a lot of these vendors and places have been putting in clauses into these contracts saying, if you give me a bad review, you owe me like, you know, $20,000. I can sue you for this, or, you know, things like that. And that's one thing that's actually been really prevalent going into contracts is what's called a non-disparagement clause. And it basically means you can't leave a bad review. So if you've had a, you know, if your wedding cake didn't come out the way it was supposed to look and you want to write a review about it, you can actually end up having to pay for that. So there's a lot of issues.
I have a question.
You have a question. Okay.
Now, talking about all these legalities of weddings and stuff like that, would it be prudent for someone to actually hire a wedding planner?
Oh, yeah. Wedding planners are good to have, for sure. The issue with a wedding planner, though, is they're not a lawyer. So if you're hiring one for your contracts or other things like that, you definitely want to make sure that you're probably also talking with the lawyer to make sure they're reviewing that. I know a lot of planners say that's part of their what they do. They go through and kind of review things and stuff, but that's not really their job, and they don't necessarily know always what to look for.
And let me tell you, because before he came in,
right,
he's running our station today, and actually every week. But it, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, wedding planners. And so one of the things I found in having the bridal shop, if you have a wedding planner, a lot of times the wedding planners want you to write the checks to them, and then they write the checks to whatever the business is. May I highly, highly suggest you write the checks yourself to whoever the vendor is. And I say that, I only saw this once, but once is more than enough, where a wedding planner was taking the money from a wedding she was planning and putting things in her name. And this particular wedding, after she was paid in full, she quit. What we found out as they came in and begged me to help them take care and finish up the wedding was, had the people not written the checks directly to the companies, they would have paid for their wedding planner's wedding and not their daughter's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That happens a lot too. That is something to actually be aware of. There's lots of shady vendors out there who are taking money. And that's another reason why people suggest you pay with a credit card, because if something happens, usually you have some protection with the credit card as opposed with something else where you don't have. So that's something else you might want to kind of look into and think about. And another big thing that's going on is wedding insurance. I don't even know if people know that it actually exists, but that might be something to look into as well, that there are companies where you can actually purchase wedding insurance.
What would wedding insurance cover?
So there, it covers basically two things. Wedding insurance can cover basically any kind of cancellations or liability. So on cancellation side, it would be if you have to cancel the wedding. What if there's, you know, hurricanes coming through while you're planning to get married on the coast of somewhere, you know, and the wedding has to be canceled and you already have all your deposits out and things like that. Wedding insurance can help cover all those kinds of costs, help you if you have to reschedule, covering those costs of rescheduling, things like that. It could also help with, like I said, if you, for some reason, you wedding cake and it comes or doesn't show up and, you know, you have to go and do something else and run to Safeway or, you know, something like that to pick up some cakes, you know, they can help cover the cost that you paid for maybe that wedding cake if the vendor didn't actually show up with the cake. So that's something else that goes on. So there's a lot of different things that come out when it comes to wedding insurance that it could actually be beneficial, especially when you're spending this kind of money on a wedding. And then, as I mentioned, the other thing is they cancel liability. And with liability is basically, so if, I kind of mentioned if you're having a wedding maybe at your home or something like that, that could be an issue. So you want to make sure that your guests are covered. You know, what if something happens? You're walking, one of your guests walking down a stair and, you know, the stair breaks, or, you know, you're outside and, you know, you have a sinkhole open up like it happened at the White House or something. You know, just different things that could actually happen if someone gets hurt on your property while they're there for this wedding. That's another thing that wedding insurance can cover. But you know, you look into those things and actually make sure if wedding insurance is actually going to be something worth getting. They're not expensive policies. Usually they start around maybe $200, $250. I mean, you're spending $30,000 on a wedding anyway. It's not a bad idea to possibly go ahead and get some kind of wedding insurance just to make sure you're covered and things are good. But again, look into it and see if you need it. Some homeowners insurance policies might cover you having a wedding at your house or something like that. So you actually want to start looking and figuring out what does you have that actually might be beneficial, or do you need to get more things to make sure that you're actually being covered.
Okay, so now you're bringing up in my mind another question. Suppose you're having a wedding at a venue. Does that venue typically cover you for insurance?
Well, that's, or yeah.
Do you have to get additional insurance for the venues?
And that's one thing to actually look at, too. Most venues should have some type of insurance already in place, and you definitely want to ask those kinds of questions. I mean, with any vendor you're going, you know, are they insured? You know, find out these kinds of things from all the vendors that you have, just to make sure, because you don't want to end up having a situation where something happens and you're not covered. And that's something else that goes into those contracts. Like I said, those vendor contracts that you're signing, you want to make sure you're reading through those. What does it say to that vendor? Does the vendor saying that they're covered? Are they saying if something happens, are you liable? Are they liable? Is there insurance to cover all those things? Who's going to be paying back? What about damage? That's another thing that wedding insurance could cover. So that's something else to kind of look through. So like I said, these contracts are very important to read through, not just because of clauses that are being slipped in, but you want to make sure that you're covered. And you also want to make sure about, you know, are you paying this deposit? What happens if they cancel? Does that mean you get your deposit back? Because I've seen that in contracts. They say they cancel, you don't get your money back.
Wow.
So that's something you want to actually read through in these contracts to make sure. And you want to make sure, like I said, you're covered for any kind of damages or liability issues. You want to make sure your money's covered. You want to make sure there's some kind of clause in there if something happens and they don't show up the day of. I had a bride where the cake didn't show up and the flowers didn't show up. So, I mean, they were scrambling to go and get stuff, you know, because they didn't have it. It was the day of the wedding, and both of those things actually didn't even show up for their wedding. So, you know, it's devastating for people because these are supposed to be, you know, once-in-a-lifetime events, and
now,
they're not getting it.
Now, when we had our bridal shop, I actually had groom and groomsmen.
Okay, yeah.
Show up 2 days before the wedding, and it was a large wedding. Wanting tuxedos because they had ordered tuxedos someplace else. I think they were buying them because they wanted the long coats and everything. And at 2 days before, they found out their suits were not coming in. So they come in after work, 2 days before a wedding, which was a Thursday night, and we fit them. And we said, come in tomorrow, Friday, so that we can refit you and make sure everything is in place. Because it was an early Saturday wedding. Mm-hmm. They did not come. A lot of them did not show up on Friday. And then they were late. Something didn't go right on Saturday. So I have to run to the tuxedo place, get their tuxedos, run their tuxedos to the wedding. Luckily, I was going to be at the wedding anyway, and I had the bride's dress. And people were saying, you're the one holding up the wedding. Excuse me.
No,
I'm not the one. But we are speaking with attorney Christina Larry at Sassy Litigations. She is a Seattle wedding lawyer, but I am quite certain she handles all of Washington. And if you would like to get in touch with Christina, you can reach her at 206-497-1725. Again, you can reach Christina at 206-497-1725. I am enjoying this conversation, especially having been in the wedding season, wedding business. What else is something that you think brides or grooms really need to know going in before the wedding. I know we've talked about the prenups.
Right.
And for those who were not here for the prenups, can you give us a real quick...
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit. Like I said, prenups are always good for everybody. As I mentioned last time I was here, a prenup is one of those things I always tell people. It's not for people to think, oh, well, I'm not super rich. You know, I don't have millions and millions of dollars. Well, that doesn't matter. That probably means you need one more than anyone else. Because you think about it, you only have maybe $100,000 saved up and you lose half of that in divorce. It's not going to be easy for you to make up that other $50,000 real quick. So that might be a reason why you want to go ahead and get a prenup. And like I said, a prenup is a really good tool just for having financial discussions, which is a big issue that comes up in marriages.
Yes.
Just sitting down before the marriage while you guys are still happy and in love and no one's fighting and all of those kinds of things, talking about finances. How are things going to look like? Who's spending what? How's the money going to be saved? All that kind of stuff.
Who's handling
right,
the money?
Right, who's handling the money? Does everyone have equal access to the accounts? Do you even know what accounts are even out there? Do you know what debts are out there? Those kinds of things. So that's one thing that definitely should be talked about. So I always talk about the prenup. That's a good one for people to kind of go through and sit down and talk about.
What are both of your credit scores?
Credit score, that's a big one, yeah, because people don't know that. That's a big one.
You know, will you be able to buy a house? Will you be able to buy a car?
Oh, yeah, and that happens a lot. You see that getting people in getting married, one person has really bad credit, so all the stuff goes into the other person's name, and, you know, and that can create issues later on in the marriage when there's only one spouse's name who's on the house and all that kind of thing. So you really have to kind of sit down and start talking about those things.
So my next question is, you know, as I ask you questions and other things come into my mind, okay? So now I'm thinking, suppose this person has warrants out for them,
oh, right,
or they're a felon and you've met them online,
mm-hmm,
and you don't know these things. How do you find out this information to see what type of person you're getting ready to spend the rest of your life with?
Yeah, I've had couples come to me and ask, you know, I have questions about the person I'm about to marry. Should I hire a private investigator? And I'm always like, well, if you're questioning it that much, you might want to think about who you're actually about to marry. But it's not a bad idea. You know, get some kind of background, especially if it's someone you've met online. You haven't had the chance to really be with in person and really get to know, and you have questions about whether they're telling the truth about things. There's nothing wrong with hiring a private investigator. There's nothing wrong with trying to find out, getting a background check.
Okay, this is Jennifer G.G. Ferguson, now candidate for U.S. Senate for Washington State, speaking with Christina Larry from Sassy Litigations. And we are on Street Talk Radio, KLAY, 1180 AM. We thank you very much for listening, and you can check out my website.